Welcome to the British History Podcast. If you love British history, then you are definitely in the right place. My name is Philippa, and I will be taking you through British history, the people, the events, the intrigue. Some of the stories you may think you know, but you don't know them in the way I tell them. And then hopefully, I will also be able to introduce you to something new too. Now, this podcast is free, and it always will be. But if you would like more History Lover benefits, then please consider coming and joining me over on Patreon at patreon.com/British History. But for now, let's get into today's episode.
Yeah, thank you all for joining me today. Obviously, I wasn't here last week. So I'm going to tell you more about that in a moment. If you're on YouTube, please feel free to, I would love it if you'd send me a super chat or a super sticker. They make the chat look quite fun. If you remember, you get some super chat stickers as part of your membership, which are not available to anyone else. So that's quite cute. I'm going to do a new member shout out a little bit later on. I'm going to tell you all about my trip to London. Many of you will know, because I think you caught the live on IGTV or the playback that's on there from the Elizabeth statue, which I promised you. So I'll tell you a bit more about that. I'll tell you about my trip, the visit to the Tower of London, but that also the rest of the trip, where else I went and what else I was up to. And I've also got a book recommendation for you this week, which I'm going to put in front of me so that I don't forget, because I have forgotten in the past. So, it's great, and you will want it, I assure you. So I hope you're settled in. You have a suitable beverage. I wasn't quick enough to get my warm beverage, so I have a glass of water. But that's probably going to be exactly what I need, I think, today. The sun's actually out, so after this I might even go and sit in the garden. Wow, end of May. Morning, Colleen, thank you for joining me. Hope you are well. So what shall we talk about first? So history in the news. Anyone seen about Mary Queen of Scots? I meant to read up more about this story before I came on, but I haven't had chance. But the Mary Queen of Scots rosary beads being stolen from Arundel Castle. This is, I think it was part of a big robbery. There's other stuff that's gone as well, but these rosary beads that belong to Mary Queen of Scots, I think are the ones that believed to have been with, you know, that she had at her execution, in her preparation for her execution. So they are invaluable, you know, they are without monetary value, and losing these. When you think about all the things that we've lost from history already, you know, we know about buildings, but all the things we don't know that we've lost as well. And then for someone to willfully, or obviously selfishly, steal something so valuable to our history. And now it will be on the black market. So they won't be available for people to see anymore. I just think it's criminal. It's a crime. But it's so much more than that. So that was really, really sad. And actually, we are using that as the basis of our Clubhouse discussion tomorrow, 5 o'clock on Clubhouse tomorrow. Now, Clubhouse is, I may as well go through this now, is now, well, I have had a notification saying that it is definitely open to Android users. So whether you're on an iPhone or iPad or now on any other type of phone, you can get onto Clubhouse. Now, if you have a look on my Instagram, so it's @British_History_tours, and you look on my bio and you click that link, you'll be able to get through and get onto Clubhouse without having to wait. So that's like your direct invite from me. Anyway, so we'll be that the Mary Queen of Scots theft is going to be is the basis for the topic for tomorrow night. We're talking about other things that have been stolen or attempted to be stolen throughout time. So that was, that was awful. So anyway, we're going to be talking about that more. Last night, shall I come back to this? Because last night on Clubhouse, we were talking in our History After Dark room about, do we learn the lessons from history? And I did a poll on my Instagram story. I don't know if anyone of you saw it. Probably went on my Facebook as well. About just a yes or no answer. Do we learn lessons from history? And I know it's not really a yes or no answer. It's far more complicated than that. But anyway, we had the discussion last night. It was only a half an hour room, so obviously we were limited as to how far we could go with it. But it's really interesting because you can start to look at it from all sorts of different angles. You know, when we talk about do we learn from history, we tend to jump to thinking about atrocities and whether we've learnt to avoid those. I would actually suggest that we haven't avoided them because they're still happening. But what about the good lessons that are now learned and have become part of our daily lives, like sanitation, water supply? I mean, that was my background before I did all this. So it is something that kind of fascinates me. What else do we talk about? How when there's been big events, we always want to look for big reasons. So say someone's been really successful, I don't know, a battle or something. So much then analysis is done on what were their strategies and how did they think it through and weren't they good at this and that and foreseeing this and that? What if it was just they gave it a go and it worked? You know, we try and find these big reasons for things. And so therefore, what lessons are there to be learned? Are we even assuming in some cases that there's a lesson to be learned and there actually isn't? It was really, really interesting. Honestly, it's a big, big topic actually when you look into it, because it's human. It's human history. We're humans. Do we ever learn? Do we ever learn? Have you ever made a mistake twice? Probably have. Did you notice that it was the same thing coming up the second time before you made that mistake again? Possibly not. And then, you know, it's just then think about that on a bigger scale. So it's really, really, really fascinating. It's something I'd love to do again. But anyway, so that was last night in Clubhouse. Like I say, Friday in Clubhouse, we're talking history heist. So where things have been stolen, or I'm not sure if we're sticking to just Tudor or if we're going wider, because of course Magna Carta at Salisbury Cathedral, there was an attempted robbery on that. Was that last year or the year before? Which just shows the value, you know, that there is a monetary value to these things. Someone wants them somewhere and they're willing to pay for them, and people are willing to risk prison to go and get them. It's Anyway, so then Sunday, I'm not on Clubhouse, but Sarah Morris and Catherine Brooks and Deb Royle are doing the Tudor travel. The Tudor travel room, which is normally Sarah and I on a Sunday, but I'm actually doing Christmas. I'm doing Christmas in June because we didn't get to do Christmas. Anyway, so they're doing Kenilworth Castle. So I'm really sad to be missing out on that one, but it will be really good. Colleen, why would people even try to buy them? Exactly. I don't know. It's obviously a world that we don't understand. That I mean, because that idea of possessing something that you can't share it with anybody, you can't show it to anybody, you can't tell anyone you've got it. To me, that's an alien concept to me. Oh, exactly. Colleen says they can't display them. Exactly. I don't know. I really just don't understand it. It's not in my mindset at all to be like that. So I find it very difficult to understand. So selfish. It is really so selfish and tragic, Colleen says. Yes, indeed it is. But what else? So before I go on to telling you more about my trip to London, which is very exciting, I got out. I got out the house. It was novel. Actually, it felt... Oh, no, I'll tell you about it in a minute. I have some new videos on YouTube. So my fourth and final part of the down or charting the downfall of Anne Boleyn went live yesterday. And the reason is a bit late in terms of the timeline, because really it should have gone, technically could have gone live last week, is because I was at the Tower of London last week, I've taken new footage and photographs, which are now in that video. Flavio, hi, welcome. Thank you for joining. So that went live yesterday. Yesterday. Or midnight here yesterday, so very, very early hours here. And so that is available to have a watch of on YouTube. All of my YouTube videos, I put on the podcast as well. So I know a lot of people, that's how they, I was going to say watch, obviously listen to the stories. So that's there. I'm really proud of it, actually. I'm really proud of it. I had some videos about Anne Boleyn last year, which I did during lockdown. And I've taken the best bits of those, added new bits. It's all back together. And that's what went live yesterday. So please do check that out. The other video that went live, so today, early hours of today, was the Rugeley Poisoner, something totally different. Let me just take a sip of my water. So that's available to watch on YouTube and listen on the podcast as well. The Rugeley Poisoner was, he's a man who got away with things because it was almost so obvious. Jonah says, oh, sorry, I didn't see it before I went. Hi, Mohammed, welcome. I was just reading. Mohammed, are you a teacher? I'm not a trained teacher. No, I'm not. I just share British history, stories from British history, in order to sort of make people think, hopefully, slightly differently about stories that we maybe think we know, stories we're familiar with, but also put forward some ones that are less well known as well. In fact, I've got a new idea for a new series as well. So I've got the monarchy series coming up, but that's quite a big one. And in that, I'm talking about the transference of power each time, and how that was less than straightforward in the most cases. But also, I'm going to be doing a series about ordinary people, in inverted commas, and taking in order to tell the stories of, you know, more, you know, them as an example of how people lived in particular times. So, I've got that in the early stages as well. So that's going to be quite good. So that's how I put across British history. Mohammed, thank you for the question. I've forgotten where I was. What was I talking about? So the Rugeley Poisoner, that was it. So so it's only a short video, it's about 3 minutes, 3.5 minutes, something like that, about the Rugeley Poisoner. He was so... No, I was going to say obvious. Don't know if it was obvious. Obviously, it wasn't that obvious. But then when you started piecing back together what had happened to various people he knew and who he'd taken life insurance policies out for, then became a little bit more dodgy, and he was caught and he was hung. So I'm trying to think what year this is now. It's in the 1800s. So one of the last people, I suppose, to be hung. But anyway, have a look at that video if you're interested. It's just a story from a different era, a different type of ones to sort of the kings and queens stuff that I sometimes do. So that's on there. And then what date are we? So the 29th will be the Peasants' Revolt. There's a video that will go live about the Peasants' Revolt, 1381. Richard II's involvement in that, what happened when he met the rebels. So that will be on there. And also, first, where will it be? The 30th, whatever day that is, that Sunday. Then there is a video, short video again about Charles II coming back as king, the restoration king. He came back on his 30th birthday. It's quite an interesting. I'm just looking. Joanna, I'm sure you're trying to say something. It's fine. Whatever you're comfortable putting in the chat, feel free. Mohammed, the British East India Company has changed my country in generations. Indeed. It's so all knitted together, isn't it, as well? Really interesting. I mean, history is history. This is the thing. I don't really... people like to take sides. I don't generally like to do that, but because it is what it is, in my opinion. Yeah, we can debate what should have happened and could have happened, but then when we were talking about the lessons from history, the important thing obviously is, well, can we apply anything? And actually that's way more difficult, I think, than we'd like to think, because it's really difficult to recognize when something is happening again, because it won't come up in exactly the same way. You know, there were people, Hitler obviously comes up every time we talk about lessons from history. There were people shouting about the danger of Hitler way before it was accepted that he was a danger. So it's not even like it's not recognized by anyone when things happen again. So it's interesting. It is interesting. And it's something I think, as long as I think critical thinkers, people who can look at events and have an open mind to different ways of looking at it, always, this is my opinion, is I always know that I don't know. Yeah, there's always going to be something else, a context, a viewpoint, any actual evidence, or, you know, something that I don't know. So keep your, you know, minds open. It's it makes for a much more interesting interaction with history as well. So so those are the videos I've got coming out. If you are a member of my Patreon, then you have access to all of those videos already. So as a patron, everyone gets, other than just the kind supporter level, get early access to the videos as well. Obviously, depending on what tier you're on, lots of other benefits as well. So I have a few shout outs actually. Oh, sure. I've told you about Kenilworth Castle, haven't I? Yeah. So Elizabeth has joined as an upper class member. Rochelle, I don't know actually whether you pronounce it Rachel or Rochelle. It's a beautiful spelling. And Colleen have both become kind supporters. So thank you so much for that. Deborah and Linda have joined as royal patrons. So as you'll know, if you've heard me before, when I set up my Patreon, I decided to try and not be boring. So the tiers aren't like 1, 2, 3, 4. I named them, and I named them upper class, nobility, royalty, and monarchy, you know, and you can choose which level you think you are, which one you want. So what else have I got coming up? Well, we're going into June. Now, June 15th is the anniversary of the sealing of Magna Carta in 1215. This is the fancy. Indeed, Colleen. We don't want to be boring, do we? And thank you so much for being a kind supporter. So June is Magna Carta. So I'm sure we'll be talking about Magna Carta a lot. I've done a few videos about Magna Carta. I find it interesting. And again, it's one of those topics that is broad. If you imagine, this document obviously was created 1215. It was created under fraught circumstances, and yet it is heralded as this document of which is the basis of kind of constitutions. I think it's a lot of the clauses were written into the American Constitution, I think. And yeah, just this basis of democracy around the world. And then it was sealed, right? Pedants will tell you off if you say signed, right? Just warning you. So pedants will say that it was sealed, because effectively it was sealed. Mohammed, sorry, what existed before the British Empire? Do you know the earliest known kingdom known in England? Well, of course, England was tribal before. So this, again, is an area I want to get more into because it's complicated. Because for quite a while, we had vast areas of the country under Danish rule, called the Danelaw areas. And then we had British tribes. And then under Alfred, we got... Hi, Hunter. Thank you for joining. We got more cohesion. And then, obviously, by the time we have the Norman Conquest, which is where a lot of discussions on monarchy in England and then later Britain begin, we've got this country of England. Wales becomes a principality of England. And Edward I tries to get Scotland as a principality of England as well. And it's complex. It's back and forward. And of course, you've got Ireland as well. So not forgetting Ireland and all the other islands around. So England was tribal. You know, if you think back right back to someone you would have heard of, Boudicca or Boadicea, or Boadicea is the sort of the Victorians like the name Boadicea. It's sort of a Latinized version of Boudicca, but you know, to be fair, I don't know how we know, but anyway, she was head of the Iceni tribe. So, there's plenty to learn about and to go at. Where was I? Magna Carta, 15th of June, sealed, you'll know now, at Runnymede, which is really close to Windsor. And a mead is a meadow. And this place of Runnymede was known as a place of, parley, so to talk, to negotiate. And it was chosen, I think, for a number of reasons that I understand it. King John, who was the king who sealed Magna Carta, was at Windsor. And the barons were at London. And this was were they at London? Because this isn't totally in the middle. Anyway, it was in the middle-ish of where the two camps, if you like, were. It was a boggy meadow, so no good for fighting. No one would be wanting to start a fight there. And so that's another reason for it to have been used. Now, there'd been this shuttle diplomacy happening on the run-up. So effectively, someone would come, these are the list of the demands from the barons. And in fact, the Articles of the Barons is a prerequisite to the Magna Carta. And you can see that, we can see one of the copies at the British Library. And they've got all these demands and then John sends back his version and then they send back another one. And so this is what they mean by shuttle diplomacy. So it goes back and forth and back and forth. Now, the impression I get from reading about this, and I've read a number of different books about it, is that it wasn't in a complete state when it was sealed, when it was sort of finalised, if you like. I think John, by the sound of it, and this would fit his temperament, sort of went, oh, done, have that. Right, that's it, we're done. Because he had no intention of sticking to it. Surprise, surprise. And actually by the, I think it was the October, he had managed to get the Pope to basically annul this charter. This charter should have been dead by the October of the same year. And yet it wasn't. So anyway, I've done videos on that because obviously it wasn't. And the reason we know so much, or we it's so familiar, well, it's so familiar here. And I obviously in America, it's very familiar. I'd love to know actually in other countries how familiar the term Magna Carta is. Because it's been sort of brought back out at various times for various causes over time, and so it's familiar here. Sorry, I'm going to take another drink. And it's the principle of the document more than the actual content of the document as well that survives. So it's that idea. Because when they were referring, for instance, to free men, there was a very specific that wasn't everybody. No, you know, people like you, well, you and me definitely, we wouldn't have been free people. We would have been in what's the arrangement? So basically you're on the land, you're working on someone else's land, you are in servitude. But there's another word for it that I've forgotten. And so you're bound to a master, your house, your income, everything is bound to it. So you're not free. Anyway, so basically that's what I mean. It's complicated. Indentured. Thank you, Colleen. It's something like that. Yeah, it's I'm not even sure it's exactly that, but it's along those lines. You are... you're not a free being like we think, like we hopefully are now, although we are told quite a lot what to do with our lives, are we not? So for my patrons, every month I do a blog for patrons from I think it's all tiers. And I'm going to substitute the blog this month, or next month, sorry, because June, but we're nearly there, with a guide, a trail. Like I used to do itineraries for people, and it's a trail following some of the locations important to the Magna Carta story. So, so if you're a patron on the upper class or above, then please look out for that, because that's what's going to be coming up. I've also got a talk with Gareth Williams, who is one of the curators at the British Museum. And it was a kind of off the cuff discussion, which I managed to record. And it's brilliant. It's about how archaeology, what we learn from archaeology. And I got to ask him things like, well, sure, you know, how much more stuff is there to find? And he answered those questions. You know, how much is being found right now? What is it telling us? And some of the things that they're finding or have found in the last couple of years could change how we understand certain events in the past. So this is the thing, we always have to be open to having what we think we know challenged. But it does make it exciting. I think it makes it very, it makes history itself exciting. And I think as people who follow history, it makes us better cognitively. You know, if you can do that, that's a fabulous skill to have, in my opinion. So let's talk about my trip to London. So, okay. London at the moment is tourist empty. It is bizarre. It is bizarre. I was staying in Greenwich, so I took the riverboat, which I thoroughly recommend if you're ever going to London. If the riverboat takes you between the places you want to go, do that. It's a fabulous way of getting around London. So I took the riverboat to the Tower of London. I got some great footage. I haven't shared this, but I did a video. I got there at 10 o'clock in the morning. It's a Wednesday. It's the middle of May. The sun was out. I swear to goodness, that must have been Anne Boleyn looking at me favourably, because it had rained on the way there and it rained pretty much straight after I finished there for the day. And anyway, I took a video. Now, this place is at the Tower of London, at Tower Pier, I get off and it is empty. There is nobody there. And it was quiet. Matt, if you are UK based and you normally put off going to London because of how crowded it is, this is the time to go. Honestly, I would thoroughly recommend that you go now. I get off the boat and I took a walk up to Tower Hill. So Tower Hill, as I've probably mentioned before, was the permanent scaffold site. So that's where most of the executions of prisoners, say in Tudor times and afterwards and before, that's where they would, where the executions would take place. It was a public place. And it was, like I say, the permanent site of the scaffold. And now there's this memorial garden there. There's also more memorials there too. There's one to the merchant navy is it First and Second World Wars? Anyway, that's there. It's a really, really pleasant place to go. And like I say, quite quiet as well at the moment. I mean, normally actually it's a bit of a place of tranquility, which is odd because it's right next to that really busy road that goes in between. So because this is now cut off by this busy road from the tower. So anyway, this is what happens if you're in a big city. So I went up to there, and then I went into the tower itself, and I've got loads of photographs with hardly anybody in. So I mean, I was in my element. I did take full advantage of it being so quiet. Although I would like to see the return of tourists, most definitely. The ravens loved it as well. If you've ever seen the ravens at the Tower of London, they are very people oriented. They like being around people. I mean, they like pinching your food as well. So obviously, if there aren't people there, there's nobody's food to pinch. But you could, I could tell they were happy. I don't know the first thing about ravens, but they seem quite happy. They seem very happy indeed. So anyway, so that was that. And like I say, the sun came out. So I did, instead of the Thursday Tea Time Live last week, because I was down in London, I did a different thing, which I'll come on to in a moment. But I was actually at the Tower of London on the 19th, which is the anniversary of Anne Boleyn's death. Now, because of all the restrictions, they had not opened the chapel, the St. Peter Ad Vincula Chapel, which is where Anne is laid to rest. But the yeoman warders were amazing. They were brilliant. And they took people in their bubble group, I suppose. So whoever you'd gone with, you know, they would take you into the chapel and let you put, some people took flowers in or just pay your respects there. Now, there is a bunch of red roses that are sent every year anonymously to be put on the tombstone, or it's all Victorian actually paving, and Anne has her own beautiful stone, and that is normally the only flowers they allow on. These flowers sent anonymously, and they think it is the flowers are sent from descendants of the Boleyn family. So that was lovely. And for my patrons on the royalty and monarchy tier, I did a live. So I did it right. I did a live stream for them, going from showing exactly where Anne's apartments were, where she was kept when she was prisoner. Actually, they're the same as were there. They were, let's say, rebuilt, re-renovated for her before her coronation. So I walked from there, showed the site of those, the Great Hall, where she'd have walked then. So the Great Hall was where her trial was, but where she would have walked up to her execution site and where that was. And then I got a phone call in the middle, one of these cold calls from somebody wanted to sell me something I don't want, and it paused it. So if you are a royalty or or Monarchy tier member. So Deborah and Linda, if you wonder why there's two videos, it's because I was cut short in my prime and had to start it again, so it's split into two anyway, but it is there. And then for everyone else, obviously, as promised, I did a live from the Elizabeth I statue at St Dunstan's in the West to show you where it was or where it is. And I did that on the Thursday, so what would that have been, the 20th? So yeah, this time last week. You can still find that on my Instagram profile, like I say, at British_history_tours. And you can find that on the IGTV tab. It also comes up on the grid as well, if you see that. But it's a contemporary statue of her. So I think it was 1568. So Elizabeth died in 1603. Anyway, so this is a contemporary statue. So hidden that I have been past it. I know I've been past it numerous times in the past and missed it. So I went and found her, and Colleen, you caught the IGTV video, didn't you? Yes, so hidden because this church is on the side of a busy road on Fleet Street. So Fleet Street is the was the newspaper centre of London, and there's a building right next to it, which has the names of the titles of the papers that were there in mosaic on the building. And the building itself is that building is quite striking. Well, it's up to the pavement, the walkway, and sidewalk. That way, trying to translate myself, and the Elizabeth I statue is right next to it, but set back about, I don't know, 20 foot perhaps, maybe not quite that far. So really, really well hidden, because the rest of the church comes out. It's almost like over a side door, because the rest of the church, the main door to the church is much closer to the road. So, it's a great find. So if you are in London and you can get to Fleet Street, and it doesn't take you too far off your route, it's worth seeing. It's the oldest outdoor statue in London, apparently, as well. So when I was there, though, I don't know if you noticed on the video, all the rubbish and sort of building materials in front. This is London. There's always building going on and mess. It's quite difficult to take good photographs in London, I find, which is why being in the Tower of London when it was empty was just felt like all my Christmases had come at once. I was also, like I say, at Greenwich. So I did a bit of filming at Greenwich, but the weather was really bad. Like I say, until I was at the Tower, the weather was, honestly, it could have been February. It was rainy and windy and really not pleasant, and it didn't look very good on camera. So, but lots from the Tower of London. So that was good. But yeah, oh, and I went down to Westminster and Whitehall. That is in preparation, or that was in preparation for a live again I'm going to do to my patrons about the history of Westminster and Whitehall. Why do we have why is Westminster and Whitehall like right next to each other? Whitehall is our you might hear it as used as short form for talking about the UK's government, because we've got like our Ministry of Defence, all the ministries basically, well, lots of the ministries, I don't know where they all are, are there. It is like it's the centre of power. But of course, you'd have heard of Whitehall if you're a Tudor fan, because you'd have heard of Whitehall Palace. And you could go there and go and just think, right, well, where's the palace then? There's nothing left. And indeed, there is very, very little to see at all of it. So I went and did some filming. That's ready for that live, to talk about the history of Westminster and Whitehall and do a virtual tour, a virtual walking tour of the area. So that was, again, quiet, Good for filming, but yeah, quiet. It's odd. So yes, if you're UK based, I would recommend, if you want to go to London, that this is one of the best times to go. So yeah, that was good. Right, so shall I, Monica, hi, welcome. Welcome from Italy. How are you? I hope everything's well where you are. I'm desperate to get back to Italy. I usually when I'm lucky, I'm fortunate, I get to travel to Italy once a year. I love Italy. We have such a joint history as well. Obviously right back to the Roman period here, but the links with the church. I absolutely adore Italy, and I just adore the culture and everything. You can't see because it's behind the camera, but I have pictures of Italy up around my room. So definitely, including a map of Trastevere, which I think I pronounced correctly, Monica, you'll have to tell me, in Rome. So I am nearly at the end though. Please let me know if you have any questions or anything, and you can direct message me on Instagram. I don't do direct messaging on Facebook anymore, but you can direct message me on Instagram if you have any ideas of topics you'd like me to cover or questions you've got. Then you can let me know and I'll cover them. Well, as long as they're as long as there's something I can talk about, of course. Right, shall we get to my book recommendations? Because I know you love book recommendations. And also to let you know that coming up, I am doing an interview with Katie from, if you follow at Look Up London on Instagram, she's brilliant. She's a Blue Badge guide in London, and she does some fabulous videos. And she has a book out called Abandoned London. So lots of places around London which are deserted effectively. They were once used, and I find that fascinating. And I'm going to be interviewing her. I'm waiting for the book to arrive so I can have a flick through, and then I'm going to be interviewing Katie and getting some of the stories behind some of these places. And I don't know about you, but abandoned places, really, I don't know what the word is. They make me feel, I don't know if nostalgic covers it, because it's not some, I don't know if nostalgia is for something that you've experienced yourself. I don't know. Maybe someone can tell me. That idea, for instance, there's a swimming pool and it's totally deserted now. It's dry. And you think somewhere like that, which would have been full with people, kids laughing, people exercising, people chatting, and now nothing. I don't know what the word is. If anyone can suggest what a word is to encompass that, please let me know. There's like tube stations, and there's all sorts, you know, that were once full of people. They were used, they were utilized, and now they're just empty. Years ago, I did a video from, there's a basketball court near to me that's now abandoned. An outdoor one. So actually it's probably also used for a kickabout, you know, or it could be used for netball or basketball or five-a-side probably. And it's because it was next to a site which had lots of different factories and warehouses on them. So again, it would have been somewhere where I imagine people would go on their lunch break and play a game. And now the weeds are grown through. It's odd. It's sad. It's sad. And I take photographs of it when I go past. I have taken photographs of it when I went past, although it was raining, so I might go back and take some more, because of course I presume one day that will go and there will be no record of it. Right. The book recommendation, which I've just promised you, you'll love this. It's called Houses of Power by Simon Thirley. I'm a quarter of the way through, and it's talking about so what's his actual title? The Places That Shaped the Tudor World. He manages to drop in facts that you probably don't know in every page. Honestly, I feel like I could dip into this forever. it's a really good book. So anyway, I recommend that. I'll put a link on my website, actually, because I'm bad at actually doing this. I'll put a link on my website so that you can go and find it. Colleen, have I seen The Last Kingdom? Is that the film Last Kingdom? And was it out a long time? I don't think I have. Or if I have, if it's one of the old films, I think I've seen it a long time ago. Right. Oh, Monica has that book as well. See? Seconded my recommendation there, I think. Or TV series Vikings. I think I started Vikings. But I wasn't in the happiest mood. And I just thought, no. Does it start quite violently? I think it probably does if it's a series about Vikings. So I will revisit it. I was obviously feeling in a sensitive disposition that day and had to leave it alone for a bit. But the Vikings are interesting. There was a Viking. I live near Worcester. You probably heard me talk about Worcester Cathedral before. And that used to be subjected to Viking raids. They could come up the river because the river was right next to the cathedral. It would have been an abbey, obviously, at that time. And there's a story that goes after one of these raids, because I struggle for the weather. After one of these raids, one of the Viking invaders basically was left behind. It's a while since I've heard this, since I've read this story, but I think he'd got really obsessed with getting something like something out of the bell tower. I was gonna say a bell, but I don't think that would be ridiculous. And he got obsessed with whatever it was and managed to get left behind. The residents of Worcester, sick and tired of being invaded and pilfered and beaten up and goodness knows what else by these Vikings, took revenge on this final Viking. And in Viking style, flayed him alive. Blech. And then, apparently, nailed his skin to the church door. So there you go. And that was thought to be legend until an analysis of something on the door showed that there were human, potentially human remains there. So anyway, there was a little story about Vikings. Vikings getting their comeuppance in that case. At that time, Danelaw is something I want to understand a bit more about. I think so. My interest in history began, as many of you know, with Elizabeth I. And then from that, what actually happened was I realized that I didn't want to just stick to one particular era, that obviously everything that happened in her era was influenced by things that had gone before, and that things that we're living after that, and so there's ripple effects from what happened then to now and all the way through. So obviously that's huge, and I'm only talking about looking at one country. So it's a big undertaking to understand the length and breadth of history. I mean, it's a never-ending task, but one that I'm still endeavoring on even then. So yeah, maybe just some TV programs would be a good way to begin in some of the areas that I'm more interested in now. And YouTube is brilliant for videos. You know, people put out really good stuff for free. So yeah, and hopefully you enjoy mine. So if you haven't seen the Anne Boleyn series and you're interested in that, please do go and check that out. Like I say, you've got the Rugeley Poisoner as well that's there now that you can check out about him. It's only a short video and you know, it might come up on a quiz one day. And then over the next few days, there's going to be the return of Charles II, as our Restoration monarch, and also about the Peasants' Revolt and Richard II and what happened when he got involved, or he was there when the rebels kicked off somewhat, and what he did about that. So thank you so much, everyone, for joining me. It's been lovely to see you again this week, and I will be back again next week at the same time, 1 p.m. In the meantime, like I say, you can catch me on Instagram mainly now. And I think next week what I might do is live stream on YouTube and Instagram. I think I might give that a go. So take care of yourselves, everybody. And have a great weekend and week, and I'll see you next time. Bye.